Hi everybody. Welcome to part number 5 of the Our Covenant God study. Firstly, let us recap on last week's homework. Homework question number 1 said, why do you think that God showed Abraham the stars in the sky in verse number 5? Well, firstly, Abraham needed faith. He needed to envision God's promises. Scientists say that we think in pictures. And it seems to me that God took extra care to give Abraham a picture that would always be a reminder of his promises. When Abraham looked at the stars, he then believed God. He had conceived that picture of the countless stars in his mind. The sheer number of those stars is a reminder of the omniscience, unlimited knowledge, and the omnipotence, which is unlimited power, of God. Lastly, it is interesting to consider the fact that God had previously pointed to Abraham's descendants being as the grains of sand of the earth, which also cannot be numbered. You can see the sand during the day, and you can see the stars during the night. So no matter what time of day or night it was, Abraham always had a picture to remind him of God's promises. The grains of sand points to Abraham having earthly physical descendants, while the stars points to Abraham having spiritual or heavenly descendants. And that's you and me. Amen? Okay, now homework question number 2. What was the significance of Abraham chasing the vultures away? Well, a vulture is a scavenger. It feeds on dead things. That's what it's supposed to do. That is how God designed it. And that's not a bad thing. But in this case, the animal carcasses did not represent death. Why? Because blood speaks of life, remember? Blood covenant is all about life. A vulture is an unclean bird. If a vulture had even touched the carcasses, it would have contaminated them and it would have made them unclean. It would have eaten them and thus stolen them. The Bible often uses birds to represent demonic forces. One example is the parable Jesus told of the sower in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. We must protect the things of God. Those things that are consecrated to Him are valuable. James 4, verse 7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that is what Abraham was doing. Homework question number 3. After considering these scriptures, what was it that Abraham saw? Who were the parties cutting covenant as they walked between the animal pieces? Abraham was watching God the Father and God the Son cutting covenant with each other. God the Father appeared as a burning furnace that was smoking, and God the Son as the lamp or the light. Homework question number 4. How does the fact that someone else walked between the animal carcasses in Abraham's place take away the fear of the death penalty from Abraham if he or his children, who were included in the covenant, was unfaithful to God? Well, there is no fear of the death penalty for Abraham or for his descendants. Why? Because the death penalty would fall on the person who walked between the animal carcasses. Homework question number 5. If this covenant was broken, who would die the death penalty for that broken covenant? God cut covenant with God. And because God cannot lie or be unfaithful, the covenant is eternal. God has included us in that covenant, and so we can refuse it and we can renounce it. But even if we are unfaithful to God, the covenant itself will always be valid. We can exclude ourselves from it by our own choice, but the covenant itself cannot be broken. Now, in our last lesson, we saw that Jesus walked the covenant walk between the bloody animals in Abraham's place. God the Father cut covenant with God the Son. And then after he walked between the pieces, he then included Abraham and his descendants in the covenant as well. This is actually tremendous news for us, because it means, for one thing, the covenant cannot be broken, as we looked at last week. Even if we are unfaithful to the covenant and make ourselves enemies of God, the covenant itself can never be broken, because the covenant depends on the faithful devotion of God the Father and God the Son to each other. Yes, we can renounce being part of the covenant, and we can break our side of it, but that will not then destroy the covenant for other worshippers of God. As we saw last week, another thing is that if Abraham or his descendants were unfaithful to the covenant, then they would face the death penalty, because that was a penalty for breaking a covenant. But because Jesus walked between the carcasses in Abraham's place, Jesus would legally be allowed to die in place of Abraham or his descendants as well, which we know is exactly what he did. Now, moving on to today's lesson. The new covenant is tied to the Abrahamic covenant. If we look at the Bible, we all know that it is split into two sections, being the Old Testament and the New Testament. You can replace the word testament with covenant. It's the same word. But the Old Testament is not one big covenant. So my personal belief is that one of the worst things we could ever have done is call the Old Testament the Old Testament, and the New Testament, the New Testament. Because the Old Testament is not one big covenant. There are a number of different covenants that God made with Abraham and Abraham's descendants in the Old Testament. And the New Covenant did not replace the Old Testament. I know Christians who won't read the Old Testament. Why? Because they say, oh well, we're under the New Covenant. That doesn't apply to us today. But the Old Testament is the foundation of what we believe. And so it's vital for us to study the entire Bible, not to leave any parts out. Amen? Now, there is an old covenant, and we will discuss that later on. But right now, what we are looking at is the most important of all the covenants in the Old Testament. And that is the covenant that God made with Abraham. Many people call it, and we call it, the Abrahamic covenant. That covenant is still valid today. The new covenant is what you and I live under. Our relationship with God is dependent on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the new covenant is connected to the Abrahamic covenant, which you will see more and more clearly as we go along. In fact, we've already seen a big hint of that when we saw that Jesus walked in the place of Abraham. So we can already see the connection between the two covenants there already. Now, let's get back to Abraham. After God cut covenant with Abraham, Ishmael was born. You know, it's very easy to study the different aspects of the covenant that God cut with Abraham from a theological point of view. But we must remember that he was a very real person. He had real emotions and real needs. Abraham's destiny was to father a son through whom the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ, would come. And Abraham's desires matched his destiny. And so he wanted a son so badly. When God cut covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15, Abraham was older than 75 years old. We don't know how old he was when God cut covenant with Abraham, but he was certainly quite a bit older than 75, as quite a few things had happened since he had left Ur of the Chaldeans. Now, part of God's covenant promise was that Abraham would have countless descendants. But the problem was that Sarah was barren. Their infertility problems had nothing to do with Abraham. It was Sarah who was barren. The years had come, the years had gone, and she had still not fallen pregnant. And so Sarah did something that would blow most women's minds. She brought her maidservant, Hagar, to Abraham and told him to sleep with Hagar, in the hopes that that way he would at last be able to be a father. Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael, the son of Abraham and Hagar, was born. After Ishmael's birth, 13 more years passed by before God spoke to Abraham in his fifth encounter with the Lord. At 99 years of age, Abraham had his fifth encounter with the Lord. I'm reading from Genesis 17, verse 1 to 8 in the New King James Version. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God."